Hey everyone, this is Deborah Burton, your host for Solutions from Scripture, from the desk of a Christian consultant. Know better so you can do better. Welcome to 21 Quick Lessons on Overcoming Personal Issues from the Encounters of a Christian Consultant. Lesson 2, those crazy hamsters in my head, getting off the cycle of worry and anxiety. How is worry and anxiety like hamsters on an exercise wheel in their cage that rotates on and on but gets them nowhere? Actually, for hamsters, it relieves stress. But to us humans, worry and anxiety cause stress, which causes more and more worry and anxiety. As we keep running on that hamster wheel, we get worn out because we can't see out of the cage where the solutions are. Researchers have found approximately 91% of worries never came true. This is a guessing game since only God knows what's up ahead of the road. But in most cases, what causes us to worry doesn't even happen. So why do we worry about what's not true or the what ifs? Instead, we want to figure out how to effectively deal with what causes our worry and anxiety. We don't want to keep running with our worry. Everyone worries to some degree. But it's how deep that worry is and for how long we let worrisome thoughts stew to the point it affects our life in a negative way. Worry demonstrates we are trying to wrap our heads around something that most of the time we don't have control over, or something we can't change, or something we can't possibly know for sure that is or isn't going to happen. It's as though we think we can look into the future and then fret over it, when in actuality, only God knows what's up ahead of the road. If it's something in the past, then we need to let it go and learn from it. If it's something in the right now, then we need to change what we can and let go of what we can't. If it's something up ahead of the road, then God is way ahead of us in knowing the reasons why and the eventual outcome. The solution cycle versus the useless hamster cycle. Worry is not a solution to any problem. Worry is a thinking problem about the problem. It's called the useless hamster cycle because we keep recycling thoughts that are worrisome and bring anxiety along with a lot of stress. So if we want to solve the problem of worry and anxiety along with stress, then we start applying the solution cycle. The solution cycle is getting off the useless worry cycle. The worry cycle is all about recycling what is not helpful. On the other hand, the solution cycle is all about finding keys that open the door to helping us do the opposite of worry, anxiety, and stress. This includes practical ways to calm ourselves down as we become strong and secure in how to handle difficulties. Just a simple example. We are worried about flying to a vacation destination because we watch the news about a plane crashing. Then we build up anxiety because we just know this is going to happen to me. I get all stressed out as the day of getting on that dreaded plane is quickly approaching. Should I cancel and just drive? Oh, and I just heard on the radio about a devastating car crash. Maybe I shouldn't drive either. Maybe I should just stay home. That's far safer. And then my mom calls and tells me how her neighbor's house was broken into. I dare not ask her if the neighbor was at home when the robbers busted in. I think you get the point. Worry that leads to anxiety, that causes stress, steals our joy in living out the good things in life. If something happens, then God will give us the grace in that moment of time to deal with it. We don't have that grace before that, because it hasn't even happened. The solution cycle is: 1, learning from the past and then letting it go. 2, it's living in this moment at this season of our life and learning how to deal effectively and efficiently with hardships and hurts, doubts and disappointments, etc. 3, it's preparing for the days ahead by training our brains to be secure, stable, and wise in God's ways. We need to be aware of how worry, anxiety, and stress can take over our life, and not in a good way. It's important we are intentional about overcoming this battle. Worry is the wrong way to think because it stops us from finding solutions. We don't want to be on the continual useless hamster cycle of worry, anxiety, and stress, which is absolutely unproductive in so many ways. Therefore, we need to get off this useless cycle and get on the beneficial solution cycle that gets us unstuck so we can have a better perspective on how to deal with difficulties and doubt. Let's look at some of the meanings of worry and anxiety. The words worry and anxiety are used interchangeably, but the two are different. Worry tends to be more focused on thoughts in our head, while anxiety is more what we feel through our body. Worry can turn into anxiety if it's ongoing. Anxiety tends to be more severe than worry. They have similar categories such as apprehension and nervousness, being overly concerned and feeling continually overwhelmed, burdened down with I don't know what the future holds, or the what if, or what's going to happen. Emotions can get out of control and a sense of inner peace leaves us. We even shut down, shut off, and just want to run away. We can become drained as we drown in continual negative, scared, hopeless thinking patterns. That's because those two hamsters of worry and anxiety have now multiplied into a whole family of unwanted and unneeded annoyances. 3 consequences of worry and anxiety. First, we become controlled with constant negativity and doubt. If we are overly concerned about what is happening, or fear what could happen, or don't understand what did happen, then that creates a lot of doubt, which leads to worry and anxiety. Job 23, verses 8 through 9. Behold, I go forward, but God is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. When he acts on the left, I cannot behold him. He turns on the right, I cannot see him. Since we can't see God in the happenings of life all the time, since we can't perceive what he is doing, or we don't understand his actions, or what appears to be his lack of actions, then worry is what we do see and feel. This is because we fail to focus on God's sovereignty. Only he knows what's going on and why, and what will continue to go on and why. And that should comfort us instead of confuse us. God's not the one that's confused. We are. Worry doesn't focus on God's wisdom, but rather it keeps us concentrating on the conflict that goes on inside our head. So it's an intellectual trap that keeps us from walking in faith. It's not about understanding situations as much as it's about choosing to trust God understands all things regarding all situations in life, and that's all that really matters in the bigger picture. Worry can be based on not believing in God's wisdom and faithfulness. We don't trust that he knows what he's doing and why he's doing it and when something eventually good will come out of it. Second consequence of worry and anxiety is that our hearts and minds become weighed down. Proverbs 12, 25. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. Worry has a detrimental effect on our relationship with God and others. God tells us the greatest commandment is to love Him with all our heart, soul, spirit, mind, and strength. Worry takes the place of loving God with all our mind, our thoughts. We can't worry and love and trust God both at the same time. Our brain can only do one. We must pick God or us, pick His thoughts or my thoughts, choose trusting in Him or worrying about the situation. Worry also has a detrimental effect on our relationships. It's hard to do the second greatest commandment of loving others when we focus on our own worrisome thoughts. Then it's hard for us to be in the moment with the people God has placed in our lives. Third consequence of worry and anxiety is that it chokes out the Word of God. Matthew 13:22. And the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Yes, this is talking about wealth, but it's also talking about the concerns of this world that worry us. The worries of the world are simply having too much concern in the happenings of this life and not trusting God in them. It doesn't mean we aren't concerned, but a healthy concern is far different from worry. Worry is a big jump from concern that we effectively deal with. Worry, or being overly concerned, on the other hand, keeps us stuck. It doesn't mean there aren't hardships that happen, or confusions that arise, or conflict we need to deal with. But developing anxiety over this only makes matters worse and causes us to lose hope. A great resource for helping us get off the useless hamster cycle and stay on the solution cycle is explained in Lesson 1, No Gnats Allowed, in my podcast series, 21 Quick Lessons on Overcoming Personal Issues. It's called openbible.info, which helps us to take every thought captive so we can replace worrisome thoughts with the power of God's thoughts. 2 Corinthians 10:5. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Let's do PAT, practical application tools. 5 tools to overcome worry and anxiety. Just a note, sometimes professional counseling or the advice of a wise, godly friend or mentor is needed to overcome the more serious stages of anxiety and stress. But these particular tools can be truly helpful. First tool, trust God. Second tool, put off being anxious and put on prayer. Third tool, one day at a time. Fourth tool, remember God is always with me. Fifth tool, develop patience. Let's get into more detail about these tools. First tool, trusting in God is essential. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make your paths straight. Our own thinking is always subject to error. For one thing, we don't see the big picture. We only see what's right in front of us. But God sees the big picture from the past, in the right now, and in the future. Because He's sovereign, all-wise, and powerful, we need to acknowledge He can indeed be trusted. On the other hand, our own understanding is not all-wise and all-knowing. Therefore, our thoughts cannot be trusted. Just because we don't understand or agree with what's going on, or because we don't see God at work in the situations, doesn't mean He is not in control and working all things eventually for good. God doesn't expect us to understand all the hardships in this lifetime, but He does tell us to trust Him even when we don't understand. He tells us to exchange worry for trust. Put off worry and put on trust. Worry shows we have a small view of God's character, and therefore we would rather trust ourselves in Him. Trusting God means gaining peace. Worry steals our peace. Isaiah 26, verses 3 through 4. The steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace because He trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in God the Lord we have an everlasting rock. Isaiah is saying perfect peace is possible here and now. The Lord provides this to those that keep their minds focused on continually trusting in Him regardless of what is going on in life. We can't have this inner peace if we concentrate on our own worrisome thoughts. Internal peace from God comes from keeping our minds steadfast in His Word, His ways, and His wisdom. The key word here is keeping our mind on Him. Perfect peace is not a life without hardships, but within the hardships, we choose to walk in peace knowing we can trust God in all things. Worry is when we don't trust God. He is worthy of our trust because He is strong and permanent, like the hugest eternal rock that won't break. On the other hand, worry is like sand that causes us to crumble. Psalm 18, 2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. In other words, I strongly hold on to Him instead of my useless thoughts. Psalm 61, verses 1 through 3. Hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to You when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. You have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy. Second tool, put off being anxious and put on prayer. Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. 1 Peter 5, verses 6 through 7, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Paul tells us there is a contrast between anxious thoughts and prayer. We can't do both at the same time, so we must pick one. Don't we thank this powerful God who created the entire universe and each one of us also has the authority to be in control of every situation? This takes humility as we remember He is in control and not us. Instead of allowing worry to rotate in our heads, we need to tell God everything that causes us to worry and have anxiety and then lay it at His feet and don't take it back. Let Him take care of it in His timing and in His way. Giving our worries to God doesn't mean He will fix everything right away the way we want Him to. God is not obliged to follow what makes sense to us. Choosing to have faith in what we don't see is a choice and not a feeling. It's the belief God never stops being engaged in all that happens in this world and in our lives. Then the outcome of this is that we will experience God's supernatural and unexplainable peace as we replace worry with prayer. Third tool, one day at a time. Jesus tells us not to worry about everyday life. Matthew 6, verses 33 through 34. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. These verses are not promising that God will supply endless material blessings of wealth and health if we seek Him first. The context of these things being added to us are the basic needs of life. We are not to live in continual worry about life on this earth in general. Rather than worry about what is going on in various situations or what could happen in different circumstances, we are to put God first in our thoughts and actions as we go about our life. Then we don't have time for worry. We want to live sincere lives that are devoted to thinking and living God's way. And this does not include worry and anxiety. Look at this similar verse. Matthew 6, 25. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Here Jesus is commanding His followers not to worry about their lives. He's telling His listeners to take control of what is going on in their minds so they don't become worried. The word translated worry or be anxious can mean to care for or think about something. In this context, it means to obsess or agonize. We don't want to be consumed with the struggles in this life by worrying. We're always going to have various hardships at different seasons in our life. Problems will keep popping up as life goes on. So we might as well learn how to deal with them in an effective and efficient way. And worry is one of the most ineffective ways. What Jesus said is simple, but hard to do. Do not worry. Fourth tool, remember God is always with me. Isaiah 41:10, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Matthew 28:20, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus has identified two things for the Christian in this verse. First, observe all that He has commanded. We do this by surrendering to His word, His ways, and His wisdom. Second, Jesus promises to be with us always in every situation. The word translated always in this verse comes from a special Greek phrase only used here in the New Testament. It literally means the whole of every day. So, Jesus is with us the whole part of every day of our lives, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all the days of each month, every single year, every second of our life, no matter what is going on. He never goes away. Whether we feel it or not, whether or not we see it or understand it, He is right there beside us because he said so and he never lies. So why do we worry? Since the one and only God that created and controls the entire universe never leaves our side and is always working all things for the eventual good. We also have the Holy Spirit that Jesus promised to be with us all the time, helping us, teaching us, guiding us, and comforting us. John 14:26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. So why are we wasting time worrying? Why do we open the door to anxiety when God gives us solutions to choose a better way on how to deal with our difficulties? Note, the balance of this is that sometimes anxiety seems to come from nowhere, where we have no idea why we are struggling with this. Or maybe we do know what causes severe anxiety. We might need to seek professional help with this or the wisdom of a godly friend. Fifth tool, develop patience. Psalm 27:14, wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. We as humans tend to demand an immediate resolution to issues in our life, but the Lord doesn't rush things. Everything is in His own timing for His good reasons that we can't possibly understand all the time. Wait for the Lord. Waiting takes patience. Patience is defined as having stamina and perseverance. This is having strength in the Lord by trusting in Him, because there is no strength, security, or stability in stress, worry, and anxiety. Waiting is focusing on the eternal. Worry is concentrating on the temporal. Worry and anxiety are temporal. Waiting and trust are eternal. It's not so much about the issues of life, but rather about our patience as God builds our perseverance and maturity. Life is a learning journey. Philippians 4, verses 11 and 13. Paul says, "For I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me." Paul was saying he was content regardless of his circumstances. He's not talking about being content with evil, sin, or wrong. He's not talking about what is fair in life or what makes sense. He's not talking about being happy in the hardest of situations. Rather, his contentment is in knowing God always knows what is best. This took Paul, one of the greatest Christians of all time, to learn how to be content. He did this by trusting in God to strengthen him in all situations. Worry would only weaken him. This is quite amazing and shows Paul's dedication to living his life for the Lord no matter what the extreme hardships were. Obviously, these could have caused constant worry, anxiety, and stress that would have taken him away from trusting God in all situations. 2 Corinthians 11:24-31, Paul saying this. Five different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I have traveled on many long journeys. I have faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced danger in the cities, in the desert, and on the seas. And I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers, but are not. I have worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty, and have often gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. Then besides all this, I have the daily burden of my concern for all the churches. If I must boast, I would rather boast about the things that show how weak I am. God the Father of our Lord Jesus, who is worthy of eternal praise, knows I am not lying. Putting things into perspective from Paul's life, it makes our lives look so much easier, doesn't it? When we put what Paul went through into perspective, how could he possibly be content with whatever God allowed in his life? He knew he was on a learning journey that took time. He realized he only had one opportunity in what he did with his life to focus on his eternal purpose despite all the horrific hardships. He had learned worry takes the place of trusting in God in all circumstances. So Paul chose to be content in whatever God was allowing in his life, even if he didn't understand all that was going on in that moment. He had learned his life was about God's kingdom and not about himself. This is how Paul became a strong, dedicated Christian that gives us a perspective to follow, which was the learning journey that walks us toward trust and away from worry. It moves us toward being content in God and how he grows us and uses us for the sake of his eternal kingdom. This isn't about a life of happiness and ease, but rather it's about being satisfied and grateful no matter the hardships in this lifetime, because God is making our life matter for his kingdom and for the sake of others. Let's recap the 5 practical application tools to overcome worry and anxiety. First tool, trust God. Second tool, put off being anxious and put on prayer. Third tool, one day at a time. Fourth tool, remember God is always with me. Fifth tool, develop patience. So now you have tools on how to say good riddance to those crazy hamsters called worry and anxiety inside my head. And hello to thoughts that trust God so I can have a sense of calmness and peace. On an ending note, let's learn to patiently rely on God in all situations, knowing he is all wise. We don't need to waste time worrying. When I start getting on the useless hamster cycle, I can immediately get off and get on the solution cycle of prayer. I need to stop talking to myself. It's far more beneficial to talk to God instead. This learning journey will transform my life. This podcast was meant to encourage you, and I certainly hope it did. It takes time for any of us to keep practicing a better way to deal with life. Let's be a team that gets the wise ways of Scripture out to others. Please subscribe, share this with others, follow and like. And remember, God is always growing you because He has great interest in you and love for you. He's always there to help you. Thanks for learning right along with me. Together, we're learning the difficult topics and the encouraging ones. It's all about God's Word. Know it, live it, and share it. Isaiah 40, verse 8, "The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever."